You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com or click the link in the description of this episode, and you can work for 7 days with your own Broadway fitness coach on an online app. So check it out. No catch, no gimmicks. builtforthestage.com. If you like Built for the Stage podcast, please rate, subscribe, and leave a comment. It'd be greatly appreciated. All right, please enjoy this conversation. All right, Blaine, thanks for being on the podcast.
Yes. Show.
Looking forward to chat with you. Got yourself a nice endorphin rush.
I know. That wasn't as brutal as I thought it was going to be. I really was like... This is falling on a leg day.
Yeah. Leg day is always a tough day.
But it's hard. It's good.
I'm
just having a trainer.
Yes.
Having someone there, you know, that good extra push.
Well, I try to be there as close to personally as I can with my videos.
No, you're good. No, and you're good with that. It worked in the messages.
Good, yeah.
Yeah.
I
know.
All right, we're not going
to. We won't
start it out like that.
Yeah, we won't.
All right. So we were talking about you being from Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about young Blaine and your first show that you ever did, your first show.
My first
theatrical production.
My first theatrical production was full scale, was sixth grade, doing Once on This Island, Parkes Village. But I did in elementary school, I did a choir, and my first time I ever sang by myself, my first solo ever, was first grade, and we pre-recorded a song for the morning show. You know, I used to play like morning shows in elementary school, and my first grade class sang One Penny, and it's like, one penny, it's just a penny, five pennies, da-da, makes a nickel.
Okay.
Solo, it was a hit.
All right.
It was a hit, and then my teacher, my choir teacher, he was like, oh, I think this little guy can sing, so we would do like a spring choir concert and a Christmas choir concert, but my teacher was like really artistic, so he would make like skits, so it wouldn't just be like normal songs, it would be like corny cute skits.
Yeah.
And I would get a solo, no audition, no ifs, ands, or buts.
Teacher's favorite.
But that was like the seed of like the whole theater thing, because I was always a singer growing up, like in church and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that, I think that theatricality thing was like,
yeah, so you are in Cher right now, the Cher show on Broadway, like I mentioned in the intro. And there's a moment in the show, and obviously in Cher's life because it's based off of it, where she goes and sees Cinderella with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like her moment of knowing that she wanted to perform or like do that. So of any of those moments you just said, was that when it was like, I want to do this? Or was it a little bit later on in life? When did you decide, like, this is what I'm going to do?
I really do wish I had, like, a moment. But I've been, honestly, like, this has been, like, a thing inside of me forever. It really, really has. Like, there's never been a question of, like, what I think honestly growing up, like having everyone be like, you're a great singer, and like my teacher giving me those solos, and like that was me being like, oh, I'm being validated by the outside world. Like, this is, you have a special thing here. So I was in tune and knowing that that was my thing. Mm-hmm. So I think I just knew kind of like, I want my thing to be known. So I just kind of always knew performing and being on stage or entertaining. Yeah. So it really is like that annoying. Like, I've been doing this on the streets. My aunt would make me sing on the street for like a dollar. And I was smart too when I was young.
Okay.
There was a point where like she'd be like, oh, you know, sing for my friends, you know, blah, blah, blah. She'd look at my little boy, you know, he can sing. Uh-huh. And then I got to a point where I was like, nah, I'm gonna need some money. So she would pay me like a dollar to start singing. So I've been like, yeah, she's been professional for a while.
There you go. Okay, she was your manager from that.
No, okay. It's really, it really has always been in me. My aunt tells a story of like her, before I could speak, me, back in the day, I don't know if you had all those televisions where you could plug headphones in. Do you remember those kind of TVs?
Yeah.
Like, literally, you could put your headphones in.
Yeah.
And I was, like, on VH1, and she said that Stevie Wonder was on. And I was, like, glued. And she tried to take the headphones off, and I threw a fit. Like, ah, put the headphones on. So it really is, like...
It's in you.
Yeah, it's in me.
Okay, cool.
Can't you tell?
Yeah, I can. So... We were talking about fitness a little bit and yesterday at the show, and you said that it always hasn't been a part of your life. Like you're saying, theater and performing has been. How did you kind of fall into that, or what made you finally start to like...
Oh my gosh, it's a good story.
Yeah, say that you need to work out.
I don't have it near me, but when we're done with this, I have to show you I have my passport on me from high school. Show you a picture of this. Then you're really going to see.
Okay.
But I, you know, my family, you know, I'm trying to be factual and fair. You know, I'm African American, and the tide is turning on like health in the community and, well, with everybody. There's like this new energy of eating healthy, but especially in the, you know, we eat a lot of soul food. Like, let's cut to the chase. Like, all the good food. My aunt was here. So I didn't grow up eating, you know, having that kind of education. So I just did my thing. And one day in high school, my grandmother was going through photos, and she pulled out a photo of me, and we did this production of Ragtime. I was a junior, and I was preparing to audition for schools. And she doesn't know much about theater at all. And she goes, Blaine, she goes, you're always talking about like how you want to be this leading man. Like you want to be this leading man. Like that's like your goal. Like, you know, and I was like, yeah, that's like what I'm really working on. And she goes, well, she showed me this photo of me. And I was like, big boy. I was making milkshakes every day during the summer. I'm talking real deal. You know, high school, you can't tell me how to eat.
Yeah.
And she's like, does this look like a leading man?
Whoa.
My grandma
knew.
That's my family. We're just kind of, but it, and I didn't take it any kind of way, but like, oh, wow. And I'm literally I'm not exaggerating with you. I started walking around the neighborhood park in Child's Park, started walking. Then it became like a jog situation. Then it became running. And I like shed some pounds of my own, like literally went the way everyone starts, where it was like just chicken breast, just string beans. Do you know what I mean? Literally like went ham on that and saw results. And then I kind of got like addicted. Then it became like, so for me, the fitness thing has always been rooted in me and how it can help, how it can be a tool for me in my career.
Yeah.
And it's also just become something like, it just, you know, like I mentioned earlier, it didn't work out. It's now starting to feed me in a deeper level.
It grounds you.
It grounds me. Yeah. And the skills it takes to be this consistent with training and, you know, it's bled into my other areas of my other life that now it, you know, it's more than the career. It's also like good for my overall well-being.
Yeah.
But that's a true story. Grandma Aretha, does this look like a leading man?
Your aunt is your manager and your grandma is like your talent agent.
Yeah, we keep it real.
That's
she meant that, and I was like, oh. And then from there, it was like, and I was auditioning for school, so I was like trying to get in good shape for schools. And yeah, it's a vain business, and you know that. And that's never going to change. And that's why I said earlier the thing about I want it to be a good tool. Because you don't have to be defined by the way you look, especially in our industry. However, I have to be practical about what my goals are, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And
that's a really,
you know,
a big reason why this all started was like,
I used to joke when I was performing that it wasn't a triple threat, it was a quadruple threat.
Yes.
It was singing, acting, dancing, and body.
And body.
And that's, you know, what I say so much is matching your Broadway talent to your Broadway body.
Yeah.
Because I keep joking with you, the Cher show might be the fittest cast in all of Broadway right now.
Thank you, Bob Mackie.
Yeah. You guys are looking snatched up there for sure.
It's that down lighting too. We are blessed. That down lighting, I never knew.
Yeah. I mean, the lighting can only do so much. You all have been putting in work, I'm sure.
Thank you.
And yeah, it's an obvious thing where it's like there probably was plenty of people out there that auditioned for that show or any other shows with great dancing ability, great singing ability. And if Blaine from high school, the body of Blaine, walked into that audition room, you wouldn't be standing on the stage.
I would
right
have
now.
Never thought I would be, at all where I am. Yeah. I never thought I would be dancing using my body, if we really want to, like, you know what I mean, root it, like the way I have been and have to and all that stuff. Like,
yeah.
Never thought that. I always said I would be a Sondheim actor, which is like, you know, stand and sing.
Yeah, right. You're an encouraging story because, like, so many people that I work with or just talk to in fitness, they look at someone like you, you know, so Blaine's handles on this podcast, so you can check him out on the social medias for sure, and you'll see, wow, this guy looks good. But it's encouraging to hear him say that he didn't always look good.
No.
Because the misconception from so many is that they create this story or excuse in their mind that, mm-hmm. you know, oh, he was just blessed with that, or he's always been like that,
right.
or she
right.
just inevitably can do that more
right.
naturally than I
right.
can, when in reality, you started walking in a park.
Literally
you started
walking.
Hello, can we get
I'm
any...
I'm not joking.
Can we get any better
I'm not joking.
Metaphorically
yeah.
that you started walking,
yeah.
then you started jogging, and then you started maybe running a little faster.
Yeah.
So hello, people out
yeah.
there. That's the name of the game in
right.
fitness and in theater, that you gotta you have to be where you are,
mm-hmm.
be acceptive of that,
mm-hmm.
and then just start walking.
Yeah.
And then pretty soon you'll start jogging and running.
Yeah.
And I'm having these talks with a lot of clients always of like, hey, how long have you not been in shape?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how long have you been going against that,
right.
That grind?
Right.
So...
Right.
Patience, my
patience.
Friend.
Patience. Yeah. There's this, I read this thing that was like, definitely applying to fitness, but then I'm seeing a lot of things meta these days, thanks to therapy, newfound therapy. And it was basically saying, like, you know, and you know this being a trainer, especially, but I especially know this, the many rounds I've gone through of like fitness, right? Like
yeah.
the plateaus, you know, which come and go. Boy, do they come and go.
Yeah.
Was like, you know, the hardest part about people when they start weightlifting, especially, or training, is that the realization that you're not where you want to be is really the thing that hurts the most and I think pauses people. Is because I just learned this the other day that, like, your brain, the same endorphins that, like, when you think like, oh, I'm gonna make 3 months, I'm gonna put a plan out there, I'm gonna do fitness, I'm gonna do nutrition, you get all that and you plan it, and your brain releases that dopamine that's the same dopamine as when you actually complete the task. There's no difference.
Mm-hmm.
And so that like notion of like starting and then going through that struggle and pushing through is like so real. And like, I try to be as honest about that as all the time. You might have seen, like, I posted this thing the other day of like, I had a egg McMuffin. I always say 80-20, you know what I mean? But like, I never want people to think that, like, you know, social media is social media, but
yeah.
you know, like,
living
there is real life.
Living the perfect life.
Yeah.
That's,
like,
yeah, that's the,
you
that
know.
Makes fitness even more difficult now where
yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
when you're looking at social media, it's like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's everyone's best foot forward.
Right.
No one struggles.
Right.
And
which is natural. And we shouldn't even really hate on that. You should, I'm learning now, like, don't be jealous. Ask how they got there. You know, turn that, you know, of course, why would you want to put your struggles out there? You know, if you can have that vulnerable moment whenever you think is necessary, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. But of course, as human beings, we're going to want to show our best. We want to put that energy out into the world.
Yeah.
So
especially for actors who
marketing
yourself.
You know,
I want to go back because it's a great parallel between fitness and performing, because I talked to you about that during our workout session, and you were talking about the highs and lows of fitness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we were also talking about in the workout session about how you can be on top of the world one day in a Broadway show, then the show closes and you're back to the grind.
Right.
And it's like in fitness, you know, you could have done your 3 month, 6 month cycle of a plan and looked incredible.
Yep.
And then, I don't know, maybe the holidays come up
mm-hmm.
and you kind of go backwards.
Right.
And you're like, I'm never,
right.
You know, I'm there sometimes, you know, when the business takes over
mm-hmm.
or I'm not training as much as I want to be. You have those thoughts as a human, no matter how strong mentally you are,
mm-hmm.
you're like, I'll never get back.
Right.
So tell me about, like, so you're a young dude, but you've had some,
I'm a strong 27.
You're strong 27. That's right. And you've had some great success already, some big time stuff. But you have already shared that there were the times of like you booked that show or that thing and you had an amazing time and then it ended and then you were just like as if it was never going to happen again.
Right, right.
Just talk about like maybe daily rituals or mindset. Like what got you from having that amazing thing end
mm-hmm.
and then fighting through what you needed to do to get back to your
mm-hmm.
next
mm-hmm.
gig or project?
Yeah, it was the big realization was definitely like right after school I did Lion King and did that for a year, literally straight out of school. And I decided to leave Lion King to quote unquote, you know, come to the city, and I did the tour and come to the city and, you know, pursue an audition. And I thought, of course, I thought in my head, like, hopefully something would happen as quick as Lion King did, and it did not. And it took a long time, and I wasn't used to that kind of pause. I had been on, like, really good momentum, you know what I mean? And I'm not going to lie to you, it was really hard. And I can't honestly say to you now that I was found a way to manage it all by the time the next thing came up. The way my life journey is right now is I have a bountiful plate in front of me, but everything else comes up then. I'm in my best joy that I start to reflect on like, oh, what am I doing? Like, can I do this? Can I sustain this? Do you know what I'm saying? When I start hitting my plateaus.
Mm-hmm.
So, my thing has just been like learning to accept what we were saying earlier, kind of learning to accept where I am at that moment. And
how can you do that?
Learning to accept where you are at the moment?
Yeah, you personally. No right or wrong answer, but
no, yeah,
how
yeah.
Do you, how do you
no,
find
that's a good question.
Doing that?
I think you come to it. You come to it after, I feel like, a handful of circumstances. Do you know what I'm saying? When you've been through a couple of situations, you then reach a point where you realize that life is life and that it is a journey. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like life is constantly trying to teach us that every day. Like, this is a journey, so be happy where you are today because it's always going to be a journey.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I've had enough of those that aren't theater related, that are family related, that are, you know, so much of fitness, you know what I mean, so many areas of my life, that I am just now at a place where I know for a fact where I am today is not where I'll be in a week, 3 months, or 6 months. And that a lot of that is out of my control because that's just like life. That's just like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so often we just forget. So what you're kind of saying, what I'm taking from it is like, if you can just go through your experiences
mm-hmm.
in life
mm-hmm.
and remember
mm-hmm.
what you've gone through
right.
and
right.
what you've overcome
right.
and then gone through and then overcome.
Right. Right.
And if you can just remember that,
right.
hey, I've been here before.
I've been here before.
I'm going to make it on the other
yeah.
side. I'm
yeah.
going to do what I have to do, what
yeah.
I know what is best.
Yeah.
And I'm going to
right.
do this.
Right. But there is like a turn, and me and you've been talking about this. I said consistency, where now I'm at a point where you can accept those things, but still be too complacent and too lazy, sure. right? You can still be like, well, I'm in a plateau journey, so I'm just going to have the McDonald's right. cheat meal every day.
Yeah, this talk
is,
about it.
Because this is where I am. Be where you be. There's that. Yeah. That to me, that's a cultural thing that to me is starting to slip, where it's like, be where you be. Like, it's okay who you are, where you are. And there slowly becomes this responsibility. Mm-hmm.
There's a difference.
There's a big difference. And now I'm really trying to... own that part of myself and be honest with that part of myself and face that part of myself, which is that consistency does matter. It really does matter. And it will be your friend, you know what I mean, in the long run. So
as cliche and like typical, you know, the whole saying of like greatness is, you know, millions of small little acts built up into one.
Yeah.
It's not just this...
Right.
moment.
Right.
The body.
Right.
The career. It doesn't just happen.
Right.
It's just
right.
day in and day out hitting more than you miss.
Yeah.
And you can only hit more than you miss if you have enough shots at the target.
Yeah.
You know, if I shoot twice, I might miss both times. And then I've missed more than I've hit. Just go with me.
No,
but
I'm
I shoot 20 times... And I start to figure things out.
Right.
You know, my number might go 12 to 8
right
there. And now all of a sudden, if I can just go from that 20, and now I'm living my life and I'm 2 million shots down the road, those are going to add up to that greatness factor.
Totally.
And if people can just hang on to that.
Right. Totally. Yeah. It's like completely, it's like caring completely and then not caring at all.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There has to be, finding that balance is like, now we're getting Ray meta. That's like, that's like everything.
I am where I am.
Yeah.
And that's the only place that I can be.
Yeah.
But I'm going to freaking start climbing right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to start climbing. Cool. All right. So how do you start out your day? How do you start out your day? You're a morning person.
I'm a morning person.
Yeah.
Yes. I love the morning. I start off my day. I wake up. And if the dog hasn't been walked, walk the dog.
Tell
Falcon,
me,
Falcon.
Tell me about your
dog. He's a half Boston Terrier, half, I think, Pitbull. He's a shelter, so you know they keep that kind of stuff secret. But the nose game is really aggressive, like either a hound or a Pitbull. Or sweetest guy, Falcon with a PH.
Oh, okay. My
PH. Bad. I wish I was that creative, but I wasn't. But I kept it.
Okay.
Set him apart. He's so sweet. He's a lover.
Yeah.
He loves people. He cuddles.
Where can we see Falcon? Is he on your Insta?
He's on my Insta.
Oh my
He's on
gosh.
My Insta. He's all over my Insta. But I wake up, walk him, and cups of coffee. And I like to sit on the couch for at least 30 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a little bit of a news nerd. So I watch a lot of CNN.
Okay.
So I kind of, that actually is relaxing to me. I know to some folk, you're going to be like, you're crazy.
Right.
But believe it or not, it gets me in tune to the world. Like, it gets me awake. It's less about... I'm not immediately thinking about what I need to do that day. I'm just kind of like, you know what I mean? Like waking up, I'm here, in the space, get my mind going. And actually for me, that's a lot for me. That like, my brain needs a place to start at zero to then let the other million things that hit me, you know, and it's a slow journey. I'm still trying to work on my time management. Being in the Share Show, this is my first time where I don't cover a part. So I have more time available than I've had in a long, long time. Yeah, but I've got like calendars and you know, I stick to
routine.
But meditation has become a thing, and therapy is a good thing. I think it's super important to talk about and do. And
All right, cool. Yeah, routine is key. Like, we were talking about those little things.
It's the little things too, though. Too, it takes whatever you know. When people say meditate or like, what do? I feel like people think like they have to do this daunting, like I need to sit up. Oh, I'm not doing what everyone else does. They get up and pray. And that sometimes it really is nothing if it's like, you know, literally it's me. It's a cup of coffee. It's ground zero. Gets my breath, clear my mind.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you're out there hitting the snooze and kind of just flying by the seat of your pants every day.
Yeah.
Get you a routine.
Get you a routine.
Boy or girl out there. Get you a routine.
Yes.
All right, let's talk about the Share Show a little bit. I saw it last night. Super fun.
So fun.
I said on my Insta story on Built for the Stage that the meat was on that bone. There was some meat on that bone.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
I went there and I was like, okay, jukebox musical.
Right.
Well, here we go and begin.
Yeah.
And there were some cool moments there for sure.
You got to start with it in Chicago.
Yeah.
So tell me, like, you know, as we keep paralleling fitness to life and theater, it didn't just happen, right?
No.
Tell me the
it came out of kind of left, you know, audition for the Cher show, and you're gonna, you know, there was this principal role, like an actual, you know, like a part, the stage management part that you kind of saw last night, actually. That was like a bigger part that kind of got dwindled. So I thought I was being brought on board to, you know, maybe be in contention for that part. And then they kind of did a left, as theater happens all the time. It's always changing. And they were like, oh, we want you to, you know, be in the show, possibly be in the ensemble, still be featured, you know. So I got the job. But what I did not know is that I would have to be dancing next to literally Broadway's best dancer. You saw, like, I'm just going to say Ashley Fitzgerald. She does, like, the best number. Dark Lady.
Yo, you a showstopper, girl. I hope you're listening to this.
I'm going to make her listen.
Holy cow.
It's like, I know, it's like, you know, so when I watch them in rehearsals, like, my heart is like, I'm like near tears. I'm so afraid. You know what I mean? We're on Broadway doing it. We're doing it. I'm doing a Bob Mackie, you know, I have to wear Bob Mackie tight, you know, masculine clothes for the Cher show. Sex appeal is, you know, when you buy the ticket. Mm-hmm. So it was a big self journey. I had my physical fitness game, I knew I had to take a step up, and I was ready for it. And I'm thankful for my job or the lifestyle I lead, because we were talking about this earlier, that like, when you get these shows going, it always, no matter what, where you are in your life, like, it kicks you back into gear. So yeah, it's just been a process. It's been really cool, like, stretching ourselves and share, even if you're not a fan or you don't know much about her. I didn't know crazy amount of information, but I knew the Cher show and Do You Believe and all the pop songs, but I didn't know the impact that she has had on women and, like, the leadership she's had. You know, there's this part at the end of the show where she says, you know, I've been fighting all my life, I'm still scared. And this woman now is 72, and she's still doing the thing that makes her scared. Like, if that doesn't minister to your heart, I don't know what does. You know what I mean? I feel like that's what we're all going through on this earth, is like, there's the things we want to do, but that little bug that says, like, oh, you can't, or oh, you're going to hit a plateau, or oh, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think health and fitness is that for all of us.
Yo, I'm telling you, fitness is rented. It's never going. You'll never not have that fear of, slipping.
Right.
And the starting part, too, like we were talking about earlier, when they look at you, some people that maybe aren't fit, and they're like, ah, that's just how he's always been. Or,
right.
I can't do that.
Right.
And I have friends as well. It's like, oh, you know, Roscoe, he's that fit guy.
Right.
And they say it in a way that, like, they can't do it.
Yeah.
It's either lack of self-confidence, mm-hmm. or it's they don't want to put the work in.
Yeah.
And that's
about putting the work in.
That's a whole other thing. Like, is and Cher, obviously, she put the work in.
And I had to put the work. I had to confront that with myself, and, you know, there was a realization that I was like, okay, well, you're in this show. Like, you may not have ever done a dance call for it, but you're in it, and you have to do it. And what are you gonna do? To win the game, you gotta play the game. So I was just like, all right, well, I'm gonna jump in. I'm in this sucker. You know, that's the way I feel, especially with working out.
To win the game,
you gotta play the game.
There you go.
I said that 2 days ago talking about politics.
Say it again, because fitness
related. Win the game, you gotta play the game.
It's the same.
You know, like, you just gotta jump in and you gotta put the work in. And we all put the work in. And that's a special. I think the show is so special because every person on stage is performing their own show. That's respectful to the larger goal. But do you know what I'm saying? Like, Ashley Fitzgerald show is like something you've never seen before. You know what I mean? Like, the Torian Everett who comes out in that body yaddy yaddy costume and gives that surprise and the Mackie number. You know what I mean? Like, and we all had to, I feel like we all had to kind of face some little things maybe that was, you know, making us vulnerable for a show like this. All the skin, all the dancing, all the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been amazing. Come see it. It's so good.
Yeah, come see it. I definitely highly recommend it. If you want to be entertained and you also want to see a good story.
Yeah, you get bang for your buck with the Cher Show, for sure. Do. Yeah.
Those costumes, though.
Costumes alone.
Wow.
I think that might be the biggest budget.
It was like a two-hour runway show.
Legendary Bob Mackie. I mean, he, that man has touched anybody who you've ever seen or been like, I love that. They look crazy. Anybody's anybody. He's done their stuff.
Talk about the Chicago run and, mm-hmm. and then bringing it to Broadway, about how they coexisted and kind of intertwined the phases of Cher's life with the three characters.
Yeah, so, you know, for a lot of people who aren't familiar with the way theater works, back in the day, they used to do these, like, out-of-town tryouts. So before they would professionally do a show in New York, they would say, oh, we're going to take it to Boston, and we'll do a version of it there, see how well it does, see what we need to fix. It doesn't really happen that often anymore. With a show like the Cher Show, they were like, no, we got to try the sucker out. So we did it out in Chicago. And it was... It had a lot more of a variety show element, but it still had the three women. So we do Cher split up by three women, which is very appropriate for Cher specifically because she's literally had 1,000 lives. She's won an Oscar, Grammys, you know what I mean? Like, she has done so much, so it makes sense to kind of split her up. But then also, like, when you go deeper into the show, and the show is a lot about reflection and her kind of regaining her strength, and basically we retell her story so she can remind herself in a low moment, you know, I'm a warrior, I'm a goddess warrior, like, I've been through things. So having the three women there is cool because then she can, like, you know, when you have those moments where you're sitting down, we're doing it right now where we're talking about, think about your younger self, or think about that self that dreamt about the goals you would have, and you know what I mean? And sometimes you think, like, oh, am I disappointing that person? Like, am I disappointing that version of me? You're thinking about the person you're gonna be, right? So we interact with ourselves more than we admit it, because it seems a little crazy, but that's what the show really is. It's the three women kind of always looking at Cher and kind of reflecting, like, is this what we wanted? Are we doing the right thing? Or you did the right thing? Or you're gonna do more? Or you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's
really cool, actually. It seems like kind of cheesy and campy. It could be that way on first. You know, there's another musical that has the same device, and so it can be like, oh, okay, that's a weird... But it really has a very cool, you know, legitimate purpose.
Yeah, it's very... It's something that we can all use and take from, because, you know, the older Cher, she's speaking to the younger one with the experience.
With the knowledge,
what she's going to go through. Yeah. And then the younger one talks to the older one of, like, don't forget.
Right, forget what you dreamt.
Don't forget.
Yeah, when you're struggling and facing your fears, remember me who, like, you know, we didn't have any of that.
Yeah, so it's that inner struggle that we should always actively go through of, like, okay, you know, when we are younger, when we are fresh into something, where am I going to go? Mm-hmm. Where do I think this will lead me? Mm-hmm. What can I learn from just putting myself there now so that don't overreact or don't get just overwhelmed or down in the dumps? And then in retrospect of being there, continue, reflect.
Yeah, yeah.
For sure.
It's cool. It's fun. It's lots of fun. And
what's your favorite part of the show? What's your favorite part?
I think my favorite part is there's this really funky 60s Jack Cole, think like Austin Powers opening sequence. Everyone is doing paraphernalia dance number. And it's called The Beat Goes On. And we twisted it. And we're all in these like black jumpsuits. And we're kind of going through Cher's, like, movie career. And the style is, like, really groovy. It's, like, really, like, I don't know. It's cool. It's a fun. It reminds me of Austin Powers. I'm a huge Austin Powers fan. So there's, like, it's very 60s and with the spiral lights. And
cool.
There's so many moments, though. It's so good. It's a pop. That's what's cool about Jukebox is it can deliver very, what's the word I'm trying to look for? Quick and easy, but like fulfilling, just moments. You know what I mean? Like in other shows, you know, Angels in America, Les Mis, you really, you gotta earn these songs. But Cher, it's like, no, we're just gonna do it. Turn back time, let's hit it hard. Yeah. So it's fun. It's like really like, high intensity.
High intensity.
High intensity.
Jukebox. So talking like we were talking about before, so like we were saying before earlier, when we're just shooting it. Oh my goodness, I need some more coffee.
Do I need to buy this while I'm here? I didn't buy this. Is this good stuff?
The protein?
Yeah, you had recommended. You said you recommended
it. I recommend it. Ascent Protein. Maybe
second
my
second plug. Second plug.
Yo, first plug. Hey, Ascent Protein sponsor.
Yeah.
Podcast. Damn. Both for the stage. So we were talking. Talking about tour life. We were talking about Lion King. And we were talking about how things are exciting and then things start to settle in.
Yeah.
And I was telling you, I experienced that a lot with clients where it's like, oh, I'm going to get into shape and I get to work out and I'm going to do it. I'm going to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the New Year's resolution, yeah, it's coming up.
Yeah.
And you are in a weekend, 2 weeks in. Oh, amazing. And then it starts to set
in. I totally am a victim of that bug of like, you see that first initial, that first week, 2 weeks, especially when you're like really going hard. You know, the best results happen so early. And then you're like, either you hit a plateau or either you're happy with that initial taste of a result, or, which happens in like, you know, the business and fitness, like you said, like you're just doing it and then you're just kind of sustaining and then you're like, okay, what am I doing this for? You know what I mean?
Or how can I revive myself?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, talk about that with tour life. Like, you're on the tour, and it was fun, it was amazing. I'm going here, I'm going there, I'm at this hotel, I'm at this venue.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're like, it's just another venue.
Right, it goes back to like that thing I was talking about before about like how the endorphins hit you. You know, when you plan something, the idea of it is the same. You get you scientifically, you know, get the same feeling as when you have completed it. So that's something that's like already against us, working against us biologically. So like that pushing through factor is rough. Like it really is rough. And
so how do you do that? Like in fitness and in that tour, kind of, you know, maybe it could be like we were talking about with Cher.
Yeah, you feed yourself, I feel like, in different ways. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I feel like you figure out ways to still be doing what you're doing, but, you know, like I said, I've been doing the fitness quote-unquote thing for actually a little bit of a while. Sometimes I'm like, it's been doing a while and I still look like this, you know, you see it on paper. But just changing it up like completely can change my world. You know, doing stuff with you has been like, so it's made it fun, it's different. That's subtlety. That's just like changing a rep, you know.
Sure. So like in your show, or in the gym, it's like recentering yourself to find again that passion or fire that you have.
And it's really refocusing, right? Like what happens, I think, when we first join, you know, I'm like, you know, weight training, you're telling me, you know, we're doing the row, fix the back, you know, do the thing. I'm like glue. I'm like, yes, I'm taking this. He's telling me all the things and da 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 da. And then once you begin to do it, you just kind of become, things become general, right? I'm working out, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm losing, you know, the joy. I think it's because you lose the specificity. So you just find something back in to hone in on. You know what I'm saying? Like you redo the workout, you re-look at how you're at a fitness level where you guys love to go back to the basics. Like you guys love to go back to like, well, let me recheck in with my form and with performing on tour on the show. I click back into, okay, like I've been quote unquote doing the show for a year, right? Then I decide, okay, you know what? On this Sunday, I'm going to focus on stillness.
There you go.
That's my goal. My goal is stillness. So instead of running away from it and becoming general, I've just refocused and I find something that pulls me back in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dieting, all that, like that's so true of all of that. It's just like finding a you know,
mine for dieting is usually peanut butter.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
So when I'm feeling like I'm on a plateau, I'll look at those specific things like you're saying, and I'm like, I've been getting carried away with the peanut butter.
It's so easy to scoop sucker.
I'll just take it out.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm on another level.
Yeah.
Or in the workout, you know, I'm struggling mentally. I just am checked out or whatever. Let me focus on my breathing or my weight placement in my feet, things like that. And then all of a sudden, you're thinking about the little things. You're bringing that freshness back to
you.
And then that was great what you said about the stillness. Like, man, I've been in. I did a show for 2 years, the same show, and where I played the lead, and I did so much, 2 hours on the stage, but yet I still could sleepwalk through it.
Oh my gosh, easy.
How do you, you know, that moment of like, okay, if I want to keep progressing, I need
right.
either revisit something
right.
or change something up.
Right.
And it's like that in fitness.
Yeah, it's like, life is so weird. It's just like in pursuit of the long term, because we're just always thinking so general in a great way. Like, this is my goal. I'm waiting, you know what I mean? But it's just, it takes being back in the now, being back in the moment. You know what I mean? Being just, you know, deep breath. Yeah.
I want to lose 10 more pounds, but don't forget you've already lost 20.
Exactly.
And the next 10 pounds you want to lose, hey, you have to lose a pound first.
Right.
And then 2 pounds. And
right.
You don't just lose 10
right.
pounds.
Right.
So it's keeping that in mind.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's a good, I like that as an ending topic for us. Where can we find you on social media? What's your handle and all that stuff?
I am on Instagram at Blainekr, B-L-A-I-N-E-K-R. And then I'm on the Facebook. I'm on the Twitter. I'm new to the Twitter. So I'm tweeting away and nobody's liking it. So come on, join me on the Twitter. I've got a lot to say. It's all politics usually.
Yeah, Twitter's hard to gain traction.
But I look on Twitter, people, some of these kids,
I don't know what it is.
And they're talking about nothing. And I'm talking about nothing. So where are the people? I don't do a lot of hashtags. I'm bad at hashtagging. I'm bad. That's something I want to
reel in people with the hashtag.
Yeah, lurk them in. But yeah, I'm everywhere. Join me.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, right. This is great. This has been good.
It was a fun chat.
Yes.
It flew by.
Yeah.
Hope you guys enjoyed it out there. And yeah, go see Blaine and his fit cast in the Share Show.
Come on.
Thanks. All right, that does it with Blaine. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate it, comment. Follow us on Instagram at Built for the Stage. Check out the website, builtforthestage.com. Until next time, good luck matching your Broadway talent to that new Broadway body. It's me, Roscoe, signing off.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.